I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Already, by the wisdom of man, pretty well exhausted the avenues of philosophy, and they still had not found God. And there aren't any new philosophies today, just a few new words on the same old schemes. The world by wisdom knew not God. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, or things which are nothing, to bring to nothing things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And these last three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 will hold our attention this evening. It's an irresistible tendency of all men to boast about something or other. The rich boast, and the poorest man on earth brags about something. Spurgeon said one time that man has a bragging lump on his head because there's such a universal tendency to be proud of something or other. You remember many instances in the Bible where men were proud and boasted. Hezekiah, when the emissaries from Babylon came to Jerusalem, could not help but brag about the riches that were accumulated in Jerusalem, and that was displeasing in God's sight. More recently, we've been studying the life of David, and you remember that Goliath could not help boasting. Come on, boy, I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the air. And David, for his part, could not stop boasting either. He had something to brag about before he went into battle. Solomon gloried in something, and we read in the Bible that the fool glories. And you glory about something, too. We all do. Verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 1 hauls us all before the presence of God and shuts the mouths of men from boasting, that no flesh should glory in his presence. There are certain lips of boasting that are going to be shut in the presence of God. But look at verse 31. Other lips are opened and encouraged to boast, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There is a boasting that is encouraged by God and another boasting that is stopped by God. As a matter of fact, there is nothing that God delights in more than hearty boasting of the right sort. Worship which pleases him is exalting with all of the heart and boasting and making known the thing in which we boast. Turn to Psalm 34 for just a moment. Look at the first couple verses there. And notice the attitude of the psalmist as he worships. This is a psalm of David, chapter 34 of the Psalms, in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. And humble people are glad to hear boasting in the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And so the psalm goes on boasting in God. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 9 and verses 23 and 24, because verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 1 is quoting from the Old Testament. Paul said, according as it is written. Well, let's see where it was written. It was written in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Shut your mouth on boasting about what you know. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Shut your mouth about boasting of your strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. God shuts the mouth of the man who would brag about what he owns. But let him that glorieth glory in this. Open your lips and speak boasting on this subject. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I love to hear people boast about the fact that they know me. But any man who swaggers and struts in his presence because he's proud of something that he has done himself, his lips are closed. That no flesh should glory in his presence, not glorying in itself. That kind of crowing will be silenced. Not a word of self-exaltation will be permitted before the throne of God. And all who delight in themselves, whether it be wisdom or riches or power or prestige among men, their lips will be stopped before the Lord. Sandwiched in between the stopped lips of verse 29 and the opened lips of boasting in verse 31, we have verse 30, which explains why men are not to boast in themselves, and why Christians are encouraged to boast in the Lord. It explains that whole thing. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Those who are given liberty to boast are those who are in Christ. In Christ representatively. You know, all men are born in Adam. That is, Adam represented us in his first sin. Ye are in Christ representatively. He is the second Adam who represents his people. In Christ vitally, or made alive in him as a branch is in a vine. In Christ spiritually. And it's those who are in Christ that are encouraged to boast. And that very union with Jesus Christ, that saving union, is represented in the supper this evening. We were in Christ when he died on the cross. And he is in those that believe on his name since he is resurrected from the dead. We are the members of his body. We feed upon his flesh and we drink his blood. Spiritually, as they are symbolized by the bread and the juice this evening. Now will you notice in verse 30 how those who are Christians came to be in Christ? Of him are ye in Christ. Of whom are ye in Christ? Well, back in verse 29, it talks about his, that no flesh should glory in his presence, of him. The him and the his are the same person. So you have to go back to verse 28. The base things of this world and the things which are despised has God chosen. God Almighty is the hymn. Of him, of God Almighty, are ye in Jesus Christ. It is of him that we are in Christ, and therefore it is to him that all thanks and the praise are to be given. Why are we welcome at the Lord's table and others are excluded? You know, the Lord's table is one of those places where certain people are told they are not welcome. Christ has welcomed all sinners to come to himself, but those that have not believed on his name, he is forbidden from coming to the table, and even warned them that certain curses will come upon their heads if they have not received the pardon of sins through faith in his name. Why are we permitted to come to the table, and others are shut out and restricted and refused? Well, it's not our wisdom. Look at verse 18. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? The great debaters. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. Verse 21, after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God. No, we don't know God. We are not in Jesus Christ by wisdom. Nor are we in Jesus Christ because of some nobility or strength of character that is ours. Verse 26, you see your calling, brethren. There aren't many wise men after the flesh that have ever been called to Christ. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen foolish things of this world. And it isn't your foolishness either that put you in Jesus Christ. But the foolish are called to confound the wise, and the weak things to confound the mighty, and the base things, and the things that are despised have been chosen, and the things which are nothing to confound those things that are considered something in the world. So you are not in Christ because of anything in yourself, but by his calling. And by his choosing, verse 28, God has chosen. That's how we got to be in Christ. And we are called into this union with Jesus Christ. We are summoned and drawn into union with Christ. And we've felt John 6:44, that no man can come to Christ except the Father draw him. Of him then, of his drawing, are we in Jesus Christ. Chosen out of the motley mass of humanity, and drawn by his power into Christ. Christ receives all who come to him, but only those who are drawn by the Father come to him. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. So praise him, and praise him at the table this evening. And then notice how Christ came to be what he is to you who are Christians this evening. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. But this Christ Jesus is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. The Father sent Christ to be wisdom, to be the great prophet, to instruct your mind. You who were foolish in the world, you who were ignorant by birth, the Father sent the Son to be the prophet, and the Father made Christ wisdom to you. He is the truth, but God made him the truth to your heart so that you received wisdom in his great prophetic work. He is made by the Father righteousness and sanctification unto you. God sent Christ to be the great priest, to be righteousness unto you and sanctification unto you. Righteousness and sanctification, what are the differences in those terms? Righteousness is that which satisfies the demands of God's law for justification. Sanctification is that which satisfies the demands of God's law for obedience and walking by his commandments. And Christ has done both of those things. He has fulfilled all righteousness for us by his obedience and death on the cross, displayed in his broken body and shed blood. And he has given his Spirit to dwell in us and make us sanctified and holy in our walk. But it is God who made Christ justification or sanctification to us. Righteousness and sanctification of God. And it's the Father who sent Christ to be our King, to redeem us. And it's of Him that He has become redemption to us. When we were ruined and our lives had nothing to look forward to but evil and destruction, the Father made the Son redemption unto us. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, and of God is Christ made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And what more could a man ask for? Your salvation is all in God and of God. What do you have then that you have not received? Do you see how that passage in Jeremiah, let no man glory in his wisdom, Christ is made unto us by God wisdom. Let no man glory in his riches, you have the riches of righteousness and sanctification in Christ. Let no man glory in his power, for of God is Christ made unto you redemption, the great redeeming King. Therefore let him that glorieth glory in the Lord, that he knows him and walks with him. And as you stand before the table this evening, recognize that your total dependence is upon God. And only as you feel in your heart that all that you are in Christ and all that you have in Christ has come from God, only as you feel that can you really glory in Him. The planning of your salvation is wholly of God. Verse 28. God has chosen the foolish things, the unwise things in the eyes of the world, the weak things, the things that are nothing. And God has chosen them. Executing the work of salvation is wholly of God, as you see in verse 30. For Christ is of God made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And the application of salvation to our own hearts is all of God, for of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, and only of Him. This is another way of saying what Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and following. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and even that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Totally dependent upon the Lord for salvation. Why? Because God does not want man to boast. God doesn't want man to boast that it was his own free will that chose Christ, and that it was the will of man that made the difference, that no flesh should glory in his presence, that man should not boast that he took the first step toward God and then God did the rest. What does that idea do to God's plans? That God planned redemption, and to God's accomplishing redemption? If all of God's plans and all of God's accomplishments in Christ rest upon a man's will taking the first step, why, that puts all the glory back on the flesh of man. It all depends upon God. So that no flesh would boast that we have accepted Him, but that of God are ye in Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Lest any man should boast, or maybe we could do what Paul has done here in verse 31 and end that verse a little differently. By grace are ye saved through faith, and even that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that men might boast, but boast in the Lord, verse 31. For the that in verse 31 is really in order that. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, and of God is Christ made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, in order that, everyone who glories may glory in the Lord. Now, natural man rebels against this notion because it strips man of independence, and it takes all praise and all thanks from God, and it puts man low in the dust. But that's exactly what God is aiming at. All that you have as a Christian has come from God, and you are totally dependent on Him in the planning of your salvation, the accomplishing of your salvation, and the applying and experiencing of your salvation. Because God wants you to have nothing to boast about except Him. But the positive side is glorious, you see. The truth that humbles man in the dust also lifts God up to the throne. And what shuts a man's mouth from boasting in himself opens his mouth in praising the Lord. And it's the very essence and posture of worship. God is high and lifted up, and man is undone and nothing in himself. And to His name alone is all glory given. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord, and give praise to the Lord and thanks to the Lord tonight at the Lord's table. The Psalms were sensitive to this all through. Psalm 115 and verse 1, just listen. As the psalmist said, not unto us, O Lord. And it was as if that were not enough. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. The double negative, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Why? For of thee are we in Christ Jesus. And of thee Christ Jesus is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Some creatures are so pitiful that they boast in things that aren't worth boasting about. And any man who still brags in himself is like that. Sometimes you see children who aren't very skilled, and when they finish with a little piece of work of nailing a couple boards together, you look at it, and it really isn't anything, but they're proud as can be, proud as punch that they've built this little thing, whatever it is. Well, I guess that's all right for a child, but sometimes people grow to older years, and they're still like that. They don't accomplish much, but they're still proud of what they've done. Living in Philadelphia, where I grew up, when the trash was put out on the sidewalks every week, there'd be very poor people come by. We called them trash pickers. And every once in a while, you'd see a trash picker run up the street with something and with a big smile on his face, and he'd show something he got out of the trash can to one of his friends who was working up the block somewhere. And he'd be all excited about what he had gotten, and he's bragging on this thing that he found. It's just a piece of trash that somebody threw away. It's a pathetic thing to see when people have nothing greater than that to boast about. And when a man boasts in himself, that's all he has to boast in. Worthless items. Accomplishments which have never accomplished anything. Riches which are passing away and fading and going to be cast off. For the whole earth is going to be folded up like an old garment and put away, says the Lord. The whole earth and everything in it, you boast about things in the world. God says when He's done with it, it'll be folded up like an old useless garment and put away. When a man boasts of Jesus Christ, he boasts of something substantial. When he boasts of God, he's boasting of something real and everlasting and of high worth. Another thing about boasting is that often when men brag, they exaggerate terribly. We often tease about Texans and the way they exaggerate. When they begin to boast, boy, the stories really grow. I guess fishermen do the same thing. And sometimes hunters do the same thing. Those great big bucks that got away, boy, they grow and grow, and men exaggerate when they boast of what they saw out in the woods. You cannot possibly make your words too large in boasting about God. It is impossible to use hyperbole in making boast of the Lord your God. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, and he will never exaggerate. You cannot find words sufficient to tell the greatness of our God. You cannot make your story too large to tell men and to praise him in your prayers for what you are in Christ, with wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let all the angels and all the creatures of earth use all of their skill and sound in chorus together of his praises, and it cannot be exaggerated if you're boasting about God. Tonight we bow to render thanks and praise at the table and remember that greatest of all possessions, of him, of God are ye in Christ Jesus. And of God Christ has made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Your words cannot overstate the blessedness of this. You cannot use extravagant language. So come with thanks upon your heart as you praise the Lord at the table this evening. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Lord, we do come to this blessed table remembering the death of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge that we can only come to the table because you have brought us here and put faith in our hearts and have made Christ unto us all that he is as our Redeemer and Lord. And thus we would return unto thee the thanks which belongs all to thee. O Lord, we are nothing in ourselves and have no boast to make but in the Lord God. But what a boast it is that we know the true and the living God, the God of righteousness and redemption in Christ. Blessed and glorious name of our God we praise now. Amen.